The Gemara tells us in Brachas, Gadol Kovod HaBri is how great is human dignity that certain situations you could even violate Yisurim. So we know this Kovod HaBri is on people who act properly. But how far does Kovod HaBri go? So we see the Gemara tells us, Chazal tell us, and Rashi quotes it from Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. You know how far Kovod HaBri goes? That there's a famous Gemara in the Torah, in Parshas Mishpatim, about ox scoring, and it talks about someone who steals an ox with someone who steals a sheep. So the Gemara talks about kefel, and it says if you slaughter the ox, you got to pay 5 times. If you slaughter the sheep, you only have to pay 4 times. The question is, what's the difference? Is it the same act, one with a sheep and one with an ox? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chas al kovod habrios. That an ox, if you steal, an ox is capable, it can walk very quickly on your own. You don't have to mavazi yourself by carrying it on your back and pushing it. It's much easier to be discreet and steal the ox. But the sheep, you want to get out of there quickly, so you put it on your shoulder, you have to hold its hand, you have to help it out. So Chazal tell us, because there's busha, because there's lack of kovod habrios for the ganav, to the afwar, you know what? Instead of paying 5 times, you already paid with some busha, let's take it off and make it 4 times. But we see, we're not talking about the melech, we're not talking about the gadol hador, we're not even talking about a hedjot. We see, this even applies to a ganav, and a ganav, it's not like he had good intentions. His intention was he was involved in a gemaisa geneva, an act of stealing, and he wanted to facilitate it, so he carried it. It wasn't like he was doing the bizoy in order to try to minify what he was doing. His intention was to steal and steal quickly. Nevertheless, since collateral damage was that he had this busha, we see the Torah even has rachmanis even on ganavim. And in fact, we see in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Nigmar Adin, in a different context, that they discuss even someone who's put to death, capital punishment. The Gemara says, "V'hafta l'reicha kamtoris v'adrecha kamoka baralo misa yafa." The Chazal is so concerned, even when you're killing someone who deserves capital punishment, what's the best way? Is it best to have a lot of clothes on, but then you'll buffer the fall so you'll suffer more before you die? Or should you be thrown out naked? So the Gemara deals with what is the best way of misa yafa. And it's a kovod habrios issue. And we're talking about that, even though we're talking about a capital punishment. Of course, you know, and we're even worried about kovod hameis, when the mace doesn't have any, all the halachas of kovod habrios are actually learned out from kovod hameis, by being metame for a mace mitzvah and others, etc. So we see how far kovod habrios goes, that even on a ganav, even on someone's put to capital punishment, we still go ahead and worry about kovod habrios. And where do we learn this from, how far it goes? We learned it from, besides learning it from the halakha and the Torah, and that's learning it from God, but we learn it from another instance. There's the whole incident with later on in Parashas Chukas, where the incident with the water and the Jews sing Ashira. Come up, you well, Oz Yoshia Yisrael. That the Jewish people sang a Shira, so the commentators are bothered. What happened? We know we just did B'Shalach, it's Oz Yoshe Moshe over to Yisrael. Here it's only Oz Yoshe Yisrael. Whereas Maka Moshe is in mention, so the profession the Midrash says is because we didn't want to embarrass Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe was punished because he hit the rock with the water. So we're dealing with the water. We don't want to avoid a busha mentioning Moshe, and then they'll think about his chay. So as kovod habrios, we left Moshe Rabbeinu's name as so they shouldn't think of Moshe and think about his sin. So, and then the Mefarshim go on and say, yeah, and not only is Moshe's name, but in the Shiras Hayam, Hashem's name is mentioned also, Vehil Hashem. But in this year, there's no mention of God's name at all. So they give a mashal that imagine you're having a party you're running a party and you invite the king. And the king says, okay, so who are you having? Are you inviting my good friend next? He said, no, he's not invited. So the king says, if he's not coming, I'm not coming. Who's God's best friend, Kava Yochel, so to speak? Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says, if Moshe can't be named in the Shira, then take my name off as well. That's how far Kavod Abrius goes, that you want nothing to do with the incident. That's why they left out Moshe's name in order to, it was a punishment because he was involved with the water, but obviously avoid Busha, and therefore, and Hashem, so to speak, wanted to show support for his friend, even when it was a mistake, and therefore we don't have the Shira, we don't have Moshe's name or Hashem's name. In fact, as well, we find out how far it goes that we know in the beginning of Sefer Shemos, when Hashem asked Moshe to deliver, to be a shliach, to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. So Moshe had a whole big going back 7 days. He refused to go. Why did he refuse to go? Because Aaron HaKohen, he was upset. You know, Aaron is older brother. Maybe I'm not giving cover to my old, maybe he should go, not me. He didn't actually go until God appeased him by saying, don't worry, Aaron will be very pleased that you go. So once he said that, he said, okay. So what do we see? So we see it's the whole Jewish people had to spend another whole week in Mitzrayim, Ba'avdus, under terrible conditions, just in order that Moshe Rabbeinu would not hurt the feelings of Aaron HaKohen, his brother. That's how great Kavod Abrius goes. And the many stories with different Gedolim who were, whether it was at different events, whether it was in yeshivas or whether at weddings, at bris milas, and they refused to speak. Why did they refuse to speak? Not because they didn't want to speak, because they were concerned that if they spoke, and let's say they were professional speakers, etc., they were afraid that people, the one who spoke before them or after them, people might compare them to them and they weren't on the same level, and therefore it'd lead to a little, you know, chalisha sadas, a little bizyonos. That's how far they go. And in fact, I think there's a story of Yochasko Levinson, the Mashkiach and Panovich. It was with Sholom Shadrom. He wanted to speak, but he was afraid he was there just for temporary. He didn't want to do it because people might get used to him and they'll make fun of the person who's there. So you didn't know what to do. On one hand, they're not going to learn Torah, the kids, so they'll get less Musser Shmuzim. So he went to Yechezkel Levinstein, the Mashgiach of Panovich, and said he has a Kabbalah Barura that you can't even build the Beis HaMikdash if it's going to cause bizyonis to someone else. If it's going to be a pagam on the Kavod Abrius, so too, he told them not to speak. And you find many stories like that. There's a famous story we'll conclude with Rav Aaron Bach, that one of the people died, I think it was Shraga Frank, and he made them, so his wife was a widow, so he made her promise, or at least before he died, that we have three daughters, make sure they marry to the three biggest Talmidei Chachamim in the world, in Europe, wherever it was. So it ended up, so one married Rav Issa Zalman Melter, another one I think was Shua Horowitz, and the other one Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Slobodka, as well as Hebron. So the story goes that originally this woman was engaged, this girl, the daughter of the father who passed away, the Amana, was engaged to Rav Aaron Bach. So Rav Aaron Bach noticed that the mother, her mother, or her future mother-in-law, his future mother-in-law, didn't look that happy. And he asked his future Kala, and she said, yeah, she's upset because of a promise she made to her father. She thinks of Moshe Mordechai Epstein's a bigger gadol than you. And therefore, she feels so bad. She didn't keep the promise of her husband. So Rabak said, even though everyone got along, they would have got married. But Rabak said, you know, if that's the case, if you want to, I'll be willing to break off the shidduch. And he did, in order not to cause pain to the Yamana. So the story doesn't end there. It goes on that so later on, Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, the Alto Slobodka, approached. He needed a new Rosh Yeshiva. So he went to Rav Aaron Bax to be Rosh Yeshiva, and he refused. It didn't make any sense. It's the most prestigious job in the world. And yet he said, no, what's up? So he said, I'll tell you the whole Maisa. You know what? If I take the job, imagine how the Almana will feel now. If I'm the Rosh Yeshiva of Slobodka, how much tsar I'll cause the Almana. And therefore, because of that, I'm not going to take it. So I don't know if we're on the Madregas of Rav Bach, the other Gedolim, Rav Shadron, and all the other Gedolim, or perhaps even a Moshe Rabbeinu's Madrega of not insulting Aaron, but at least, you know, to have some sense, at least some sensitivity that we don't go ahead and we have covered every, like we learn just merely, perhaps just merely not saying anything, like we learn from the dogs. The dogs got scar because they didn't bark the Leil Pesach. So what was so great? Besides Zacharias HaTov, sometimes we know the hardest thing sometimes is not to say something. So if we're worried to cover that Bria, so without on the Madrega or Rabak and all the other Gedolim and the great biblical scholars, but at least, you know, at least to be on the Madrega of the dog, and we have something insulting to say or something that might lead to collateral damage, we should try to be careful on the way we in our interpersonal relations with people. And in that will be Zocha, just like the dogs were Zocha to the Bus of Trefa, so too, those who are careful and meticulous about El Chavero, we'd be rewarded as well.